What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Russell here at Select Start. Unfortunately, today we are minus one of our amazing members, my amazing co-host. Caleb is actually going to be out still tomorrow with him and Gavin's little brother Gabe, who actually played a tournament this weekend, and I heard he did pretty good.
Yeah. What's up, guys? It's Gavin, aka Gilded Age. Gabe, him and his team made it all the way to the finals, and they lost 2-0 to a team called Ascent. They played really good. The first map in the finals, they kind of got destroyed, but it wasn't a map that they're comfortable on. And the second map, it was a close one. It was like 9-13, I think, or 10-13, something like that. And they played really well, and it was a map they wanted to. They picked. It was the map they picked.
Right.
Because a lot like League, on this one, you ban maps and pick maps.
Because it's like better for characters, most likely.
Yeah. And so like each team gets to ban two maps, and then pick a map, and then the third map is. I think it's kind of like random. It's not like a map that either one of them pick, you know, so that way one team doesn't get to pick two maps. But yeah, they did really good. They went up against Colorado University and did really well against
them. Got to see that. Yeah, we watched that game. I remember. Yeah
they
that,
did really
they
good.
Fucking clapped them, bro.
They did really good. I think they probably would have done better if they had their full team, because this was Khan and Polar Bear were fillers, because two of their members couldn't make it.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I think they would have done maybe better. They might have even been able to beat Ascent. But Ascent was also predicted to win the entire tournament. They were the best, predicted to win the whole thing and be the best team. So it was really cool, though, seeing Gabe play. And I don't know how much you watched, but in one of his games, he straight up, like, it was one, I think it was like 1v2, 1v3, and he clutched it up real fucking nice and won the round for him. It was really cool seeing
I remember in the CU game, them versus Colorado University, they actually, I could, because remember the stream was Colorado University's, it wasn't actually
Nerd Stream,
Gabe's team, it wasn't actually like 303, but if you listen at one of the end of the rounds, I believe it was like, round 6 or 7, while they were still on their win streak, you could literally hear Colorado University go, "Fucking greed got me in the hallway, dude. He got all of us."
Yeah. And
I was like, "Hey, yo."
Yeah, I know.
I was like, "Gabe just cleared out the hallway."
I know. And one of the rounds, it was at the start of one of the rounds, and they were like, "Greed's gonna probably take a garage again."
Watch out for Greed, he's probably going to take Garage again
and all this. And I was like, I don't really understand the lingo, but I'm hearing Gabe's name, and I'm like, hell yeah.
what they're saying Garage, I'm sure they're just talking about locations. It's just like, you know, Call of Duty shoutouts.
Yeah, it's like, I imagine it's like Rainbow Six, Call of Duty, but also it was cool when the casters on one of the rounds that Gabe won for his team, like when he clutched it up, it was cool hearing the announcers be like, "Oh, and Greed comes in with the clutch." Or there was one, I don't know if you watched the finals, but there was one.
Didn't get a chance to, no.
Thing, but there was one where it was Greed, my brother, and his teammate Hawk, and they were holding the bomb because they planted it, so they were holding it, and they worked really well together and held it, and it was nice. Like they're really good. There was also they straight up broke Ascent's ankles, man. Like they had them fold. They made it so on the map there was A site and B site, and they made Ascent fully commit to A site. And they just straight up went straight to B. They just
nice.
They just boomed.
They pulled the old switcheroo, fast one.
It was great. It was really funny because like even the announcers were like, they're like, wait a minute. They're like, oh my god. They're like 303 just broke their ankles and just completely switched. They're playing mind games. It was fun.
That's fucking really cool. Dope, man. I'm proud of Gabe. Honestly, that's good.
I am too. I'm proud of him and his team. They did really good.
Yeah. That's really good to hear.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. They won all of their games. The only team they couldn't beat was Ascent.
Hey, and sometimes what happens is it comes down to things like that. But in the end, they ran it all the way to second place, dude.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This is not the first time that I've heard them beating good teams, yeah, going up against good teams, and literally just being second to the best.
Yeah, they went against TSM Academy once, and they played really good against them. I think what it also kind of comes down to is, you know, 303 is a really new esports team as well, and so they don't have the same resources as TSM, C9, and all these other big teams. The Ascent looked a lot more comfortable, not only on stage, but also, like, just they looked more experienced.
Oh, well, like, yeah. Ascent is a good team.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, you know, as the org kind of grows and everything, because they just released merch, like, they now finally have merch and everything. So it's still a brand new kind of, like, esports team. So and they plan on a little bit of insider info. I think they plan on bringing on some pros and stuff and helping them grow and get better. So,
yeah, I'm excited to see how they do, man. Really am.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Well, since we're talking about esports, little update on the LCS lock-in tournament.
Fucking hit me with it.
The quarterfinals happened. Surprisingly, Dignitas beat out 100 Thieves. 2-0
them. Yeah, I remember you texting that.
Insane. Insane. TL beat FlyQuest, obviously.
Yeah, who did FlyQuest beat?
Huh?
Who did FlyQuest beat?
To get to the quarterfinals?
Yeah, didn't FlyQuest beat somebody?
Yeah, they went 2-2. They beat TSM and GG, I believe. No, they beat C9 and they beat TSM, not GG. They lost against, but GG only won one game against TSM. Yeah, but that's also because TSM, it's their entire academy team because they had issues. So like TSM and Golden Guardians, no one was really expecting them to do good, considering it was their entire academy team. I mean, it's, you know, it's an academy team against professional players that are going to be more comfortable and more experienced.
But, I got you. Okay.
But TL beat FlyQuest, and then EG beat GG because EG, and then C9 beat CLG.
Got you.
So next weekend is semifinals and finals. I'm predicting EL will beat Dig, EG will beat C9, and then EG will win the whole thing.
EG, okay.
Yeah, I think Evil Geniuses will be win the whole thing because they went 4-0 in in the lock-in, so they didn't drop a single game.
Ooh.
Yeah, they did really good. They're coming in swinging. At least I don't know if this will transition into spring and summer. I don't know if they're still going to be this good, or if it's because a lot of teams aren't able to play their full rosters due to, you know, COVID and visa issues and stuff like that. So it could change come spring and summer. It could, EG could be good. They could win the whole thing, but I just think we're going to have to wait and see. I think, I don't know, I want to say 100 Thieves will probably win the LCS again, but I do think TL is going to be a really strong contender now that they have Bjergsen.
Yeah, Liquid, Team Liquid.
Yeah, which is, they played really well. They went 3-1, and the only team they lost to was EG, who, you know, is 4-0, so I think TL has a really good chance of winning LCS. So I think this year is going to be very exciting, not only because Fudge is in the mid lane now, and Bjergsen's on a different team.
Fudge is good. Fudge is a very good thing.
Yes.
He's a good player.
Not only that, but it's so refreshing to see like Fudge and these some of these new mid laners that aren't just going to play Victor Corki the whole fucking thing. Because who was it? I think it was Joe Yupung or something like that. I'm butchering his name, I know it. But I think he played Tryndamere mid, which was wild. And so I'm very excited to see like some off meta mid lane picks and stuff.
Okay.
But what happened with the Rocket League? You said some before the call, you said something big happened? Or there was a tournament or something?
It was a goofy comp. It was a goofy tournament, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so for starters, let me hit the bracket. That way I can like fully explain.
Yeah, yeah. That's what, like, I did. I had the bracket open.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. So, for starters, give me 1 second. I apologize.
Yeah, no,
let me
just
make sure. Let me collect myself so I can actually tell you everything here.
But yeah, crazy stuff is happening all over the esports scene.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Here we go. Right here. Let me tell you. So Rocket League has started. Groups. And I remember explaining that to you and Caleb this past time. And this is not exactly something that they've done before.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not used to doing group stages. We're used to just doing a bunch of big Swiss brackets, right?
Hmm. Okay.
So this regional has been the test for groups. And I think, like, I don't know, man. Like, it was funny.
Yeah?
Like, so group one. Let's start with group A. Okay. Group A was Team BDS, literal, like, recent major winners. So, recent best team in the world. Start with that.
Okay.
Luminosity Gaming. Now, if anybody knows the name Luminosity, Luminosity made the very famous game Slap City, followed by Nickelodeon Toon All-Star Brawl.
Right.
Team Singularity and 00 Nation. 00 Nation is a renamed team. I forgot what their old team is. They're an old team. They've been around. They're Nordavind.
Okay. Never heard of them. Sadly.
They lost out. They lost out of the North or 00 Nation lost out. They got swept. 0-3.
Okay.
We move over to group B. Okay. So the way, you know how group works, three get out, one dies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we move over to group B. Okay, so Team BDS, Luminosity, and Team Singularity. Singularity is somebody we won't mention. We'll keep going. They make out group A. Group B is Team Queso, which Team Cheese. Like, come on. How could you not love Team Cheese? Just the name. Misfits Gaming, Dignitas, and RixGG. RixGG falls out, but Dignitas in third place in their own group.
What?
Right? A team like Dignitas, also just a former best team in the entire world.
Okay, I was about to say, because I was like, I only really know Dig for League.
So. Yeah, they are a former best team.
Damn.
They They are in third place. Now, something special happens with Dig, but we'll go on. Group C is Williams Resolve, EG, Semper Esports. Semper Esports is a top four placing team in the last fall major. And then Cuxer's Minions. So Cuxer's Minions drop out. Semper Esports in third place. They had to tie and play Evil Geniuses. Evil Geniuses ended up winning to get the seed. And Williams Resolve, they come in first place of their group. Williams Resolve is a funny little team. They're owned by the Formula One team Williams Racing. No, like, they're a brand new team from last year.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Group D is Endpoint, Carmine Core, Vitality in third place, and Nautis Vincere. Nautis Vincere drops out. So four teams have dropped out the group stage. So then they play lower round one, and they actually go on to play lower round two. Now, in this in the split, they do uppers and lowers, not winners and losers, if that makes sense.
Uppers and lowers, like...
So you know how normal double elimination brackets are winners and losers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, uppers and lowers. That's it. So at the end of the split in lowers, Team Vitality and Dignitas are the only two that end up making it out. And so that'll leave you with six teams going into lower quarters and upper semis. BDS, the former best team in the world, or the current best team in the world due to the major, beats Endpoint, and Queso has to beat Williams Resolve in a best of seven, and Queso has to draw it all the way to game seven.
Jesus.
Williams Resolve had to push him all the way to game seven. BDS wins Endpoint 4-1. We go down to the lower bracket, so Endpoint now has to play Vitality, who they sweep, by the way.
Jeez.
Dignitas has to play Williams Resolve. Okay. Williams Resolve just pushed Team Queso, who is now in the upper finals with the best team in the world, mm-hmm. game seven. Dignitas shits on Williams Resolve. 4-0.
As expected, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because they started looking like the best team in the world all over again.
Okay.
Dignitas then goes on to play Endpoint, who beat Vitality. They 4-2 Endpoint. So now Dignitas is waiting in lower finals as upper finals is being played. So we're back to BDS and Team Queso. BDS, current best team in the world, gets swept by Team Queso. It's not a perfect sweep, though. In Rocket League, a perfect sweep is when you win four games in a row without the team scoring.
So, Team Queso, you said they're new, right?
No, they're not new. They've been around, but they're finally growing into their own.
Okay.
Yeah, they're finally moving as a really good unit.
Okay, so they're kind of like finding their footing.
They are definitely, absolutely finding the groundwork for their footing. They are hit. They have hit the ground, and they are running.
All right.
BDS, so they lose upper finals, so they drop into lower finals, where they have to play Dignitas.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing
Gavin, the statistic was 2 goals to 21 scores. BDS, from upper finals to lower finals, scored 2 points. In 8 games. That is statistically 40 minutes of Rocket League.
And how much did the other team score?
21. They got a total of 21 points scored on them between 8 games.
Holy.
Dignitas embarrassed BDS and perfect swept them.
Oh, crap.
So you go into finals with Team Queso and Dignitas. Now, Dignitas has made what is actually colloquially known as the Cloud Nine run. They have literally, they were in lowers. They were already went into bracket in lowers, mm-hmm. ran it all the way to the finals. The only thing they didn't do was complete the Cloud Nine run and win. They got hit on by some
Jesus.
They got absolutely demolished by Team Queso.
Jesus, that's fucking rough.
So two of the best teams in the world, European-wise, have now gotten destroyed. by Team Queso.
Damn, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, just want you to know.
That's crazy. I gotta start watching more Rocket League. It seems like that is, like you said, one of the best spectator esports. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. It is, I can tell you right now, so it's funny. Good friend of mine that I play Rocket League with, his name is, he goes by Platonics. He's Canadian. He was doing a watch party this weekend, and I got a chance to hang out with him and, you know, talk shop and bullshit with him while he's on stream. And he asked me who was going to win, but he told me the stipulation was I wasn't allowed to pick BDS because they just won the major.
Right.
So immediately as he said that, I just said, oh, it's Team Queso. And he asked me why. And if you could have watched Team Queso play their group stage, no shot. No shot they lost that regional. Like, literally, no shot.
Damn.
They were playing lights out. They were electric. They were literally destroying the competition. Like, no shot. No shot they lost. And then look who ended up being right come Sunday morning. That's all I'm going to say.
Damn, man. Damn, Rocket League is crazy, dude.
I wish I was brave enough to have drafted any of Team Queso for my fantasy.
Yeah.
I will definitely be looking into my fantasy closer for Team Queso.
Speaking of fantasy, so me and Caleb, we are in a LCS fantasy together.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so the one of the cool things is that on the app we're doing Sleeper, if you miss your draft, it'll draft for you, and it makes tries to pick the best player that it believes that the AI believes is going to be the best pick for you. Like, it's not going to just randomly pick someone; it'll pick whoever is projected to play the best.
Right.
My whole strategy was I'm going to pick two players from one team, two players from another team, and one player from another team. So I'd have three teams overall with two players on one. My plan was have top and jungle be from the same team, so that way they work together, and then bot lane be from the same team because they got to work together, and then mid lane just be a really good mid laner.
Mm-hmm.
That was my plan, but my draft messed up and it did not show me that the draft was going, so I was like, okay, why are we still waiting for this dude to pick? By the time I realized it, I guess it disconnected or something, and it was just auto picking for me.
No.
Yeah. Now, while I don't have a bad team, I don't have the team that I wanted.
Because that's so upsetting.
Yeah, because I was going to pick 100 Thieves, top and jungle. Those were going to be my first two picks if like the jungle got left open.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
And if not, I was going to do jungle and mid lane. And then I was going to try to get just a good bot lane, like TL's bot lane or C9's bot lane. Just a bot lane that I knew was going to play good. But now I think I only have two players from the same team, and that's because I traded. Which is cool, because you can trade players and stuff, and like there's a list of free agents that no one drafted that you can just swap in and out. So, you know, if down the line, like, oh, you know, my ADC isn't playing as good, but this free agent ADC is playing really good lately. So you can swap them out.
Right.
But right. My team's not bad, per se, but, you know, it sucks that my draft did not go the way I planned.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, but it is cool, because I did get some of the players I wanted, because you can put queues, so you can pick, like, these are the players I want, and so if the auto goes, it'll try and pick those players first. So I did get some of the champions, or some of the players I wanted. Like my top lane, I did get him, which was 100 Thieves top lane. I immediately knew I wanted him. So my team's not bad. I don't know if I'll do good, but we'll just have to wait. Because February 5th is when our fantasy actually starts.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's cool, too, is you get picks and bans. So if you if you ban a champion, so like say I ban Set, and then the player that I'm going against, his top laner picks Set, it'll reduce his points by a little bit. Not by a lot, but it could be enough to win you the game. And you have picks too, so okay. If I'm like, okay, I'm going to ban Set, but I'm going to pick, and I'm going to guess that Summit is going to play, I don't know, Camille, then it'll boost him up a little bit. So it's a lot of like, kind of like guessing, like, okay, you know, like, all right, my mid laner's been playing a lot of Corki. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of teams are leaving Corki open, so he's probably going to get Corki. So boom, all right. He's going to play Corki, and they're probably going to counterpick, or they're just going to play Victor. So I'm going to just ban Victor. So it's really cool. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it.
Yeah, clearly.
But yeah, we also changing topics real quick. Arceus comes out in 4 days, and we have seen a lot of gameplay.
Yeah, yes you have.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that I've saw is alpha Pokemon are actually going to be bigger than just the regular Pokemon, which is super cool.
What do you mean they're going to be bigger?
So, you know the alpha Pokemon, the ones with like the red eyes and stuff?
Yeah.
So they're supposed to be like the alpha of like that Pokemon type. So like Infernape. If you get an alpha Infernape, he's going to be bigger than just, like, a regular wild Infernape.
Because yeah, he's going to be massive.
Yeah, because he's the alpha. So he's the leader of, like, the other Infernapes, like, if they're in, like, a group. So I think that's really cool that they did that. And if you're in town, you can also throw out multiple different Pokemon. So you can throw out all six of your Pokemon and just look at them. So I don't know.
What? That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll follow you around, but from what I saw, he was like, let's see if the alpha Pokemon are bigger than the regular Pokemon. And so I thought that was really cool, and I think that's a really nice touch.
Yeah, that's actually dope as shit.
Yeah. It's really awesome. Anything else happening with any of the esports or any games you've been keeping up with?
Man, I'm counting the days, dude. We're a month away. We're a month away.
Oh,
we're
man, literally for to real? The day. Already?
To the day, we are a month away.
Dang, how time flies, dude. I feel like Elden Ring was just announced, like, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Like, it does
it's
not...
Literally, it's literally a month away.
How long has it been? What, 3 years since it's been announced?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jeez. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time.
Well, I mean, I guess whenever it comes out, we're not going to be hearing from Russell anymore. he's about to use all his vacation and everything.
I'm so ready, bro.
Oh, man.
I'm so fucking ready.
I'm ready to watch you play it on stream, because I don't think I'm going to buy it, but I'm definitely going to have to watch you play it on stream.
Yeah, I can't wait, bro. I'm so.
Oh, speaking of your stream, you've been playing Five Nights at Freddy's, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you said something about the lore.
It's wild.
Yeah, I know we talked about it a little bit, but break it down for me, because I've never played the game.
So, all right, so. Okay, let's just start with this, right? So the game, when you play Five Nights, all you know is a Freddy Fazbear Pizzeria, and You have taken on a job to watch the place over. You are not a daytime guy. You are there by yourself in the middle of the night. Make sure the robots, the animatronics, don't wander around too far and get into anything a little too crazy.
Right.
Now, that's fine and dandy. If you literally weren't in a security room that had steel doors that dropped down, reinforced doors, that.
So, I have a question about that. Can you not shut both of them at the same time?
Well, there's no button to shut them simultaneously.
So you have to hold it down to shut it?
No. There's a button that'll shut them, yes. But it will not shut both doors simultaneously. Only operate one door and one light at a time.
So if I, so like, say I shut the right door. When I shut the left door, does the right door come back open?
No. You have the chance to open it back up.
So then, can't you just sit there with both doors shut?
If you want your power to run out, absolutely.
Oh, that's right. The power. I forgot about that part.
Yep.
Because I always I was watching, because I've never played. I haven't really watched much of it either. So I was like,
have to be entirely conscious of everything you do.
Yeah, because I always thought, I was like, can't you just shut both doors and just chill?
Yep. If you want to waste your power all night, absolutely, by all means.
So does it recharge? Like the power recharges over time, or
no? No. Oh. You have to make it until 6 a.m. in the morning.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
You heard me? What the fuck? Yeah, I did not know this game was that hard.
You are stuck from midnight until 6 a.m.
I thought it was like, if you open up both doors and don't use the lights, then the power kind of slowly recharges itself back up.
Nope.
Jesus. Oh man, that is...
Yep.
That's
stressful. You have to play very smart when it comes to doing this properly. You cannot just close and open and close and open and blah 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 blah. you can't do that. Not how that works.
So how do you stop them when they're coming for you? Is it turning on the light stops them, or do you have to shut the door and wait for them to go?
So what you do is you watch the camera feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you will be making sure that they do not get close enough to you to get you. Plain and simple. They don't get close enough to actually get you. You know what I mean?
Right. So how do you stop them from getting closer?
You just close the doors.
Okay, so you close the doors and they just kind of leave. They're like, ah, shit.
Basically, yeah, like the light is able to, quote unquote, scare them away, if you will.
Okay.
So, you are supposed to last until 6 a.m. and your power drains when you use the lights and the doors and the camera.
Oh, God.
Everything you do drains the battery.
Holy crap, dude. I didn't think this game was that difficult.
It's a survival game.
I always thought it was like geared towards like kids playing it, but insane.
It's a survival game. I absolutely have a clip of me getting the shit scared out of me, so it's all
fine. That's amazing.
It's fucking great. So you know, all in all, you start as a security guard in the first game, but that is not actually where the timeline starts, because when you start, if I'm not mistaken, if you start in Five Nights at Freddy's 1,
mm-hmm.
you are actually starting in the year, let me see here, 19. So that is actually 10 years after the actual initial start of the timeline. timeline starts in 1983, where you play the game Five Nights at Freddy's 4.
Is that the newest one?
No, the newest one is called Security Breach. That is based in the year 2029.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, 2023. Oh. And, okay, so it's clear that the events are after 2023. Fans speculate it happens between 2024 and 2029.
Okay.
So you started 1983 at Five Nights at Freddy's 4, and in the entirety of this, you play as a child in their bed that is armed with a flashlight. You have to use a flashlight and close a door to make it through the night. And you also play mini game in this game. And through the mini games, you learn that the main character that you're playing as is the victim of something known as the Bite of 83. When you got bullied into the mouth of Fredbear at Fredbear's family dinner. And, well, Fredbear just took a little bite.
Just a little nibble.
And you died.
Oh, what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, this is not like a child game. No, you died.
That is so dark. What the hell? They just killed a child just like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that leads us into the second chronology of the game, which is Sister Location. Now, Sister Location, you play as Michael Afton, who finds themselves at Circus Babies Entertainment and Rental, the warehouse that stores electronic animatronics that could be ready for parties.
Hmm.
These animatronics, guess where they come from?
Freddy's Pizzeria? I don't know.
Freddy's Fazbear's Pizza. Come from that, and they come from the animatronics are known as Circus Baby and Ballora. And of course, the other Fazbear main characters are there, like Bonnie and Freddy and Foxy. But you are playing as Michael, the main character. And Michael is the man who opened up Freddy Fazbear's Pizza.
So you're playing as, like, the owner?
Basically.
Jesus.
So then you go into number two, and you now take the role of Jeremy Fitzgerald, the head security guard of Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. So apparently when you beat the game, you receive a paycheck, and the paycheck tells you, like, the date. So this is 1987.
Okay.
And apparently in number two, you pretty much play the exact same game as number one. And in the game number one, you receive phone calls at the beginning of every night. And these phone calls are from the previous guard that you are now taking the job of. And he just kind of warns you about what goes on.
Is this the same guy that you played in the first one?
No.
Okay.
No. In the first one, I believe you're listening to Jeremy. You're listening to him. He's the one who tells you everything that goes on. So you, and the game, and then after two, you actually find yourself in one. You start, and you just get these phone calls, and you're told, like, hey, make sure you close the doors and watch yourself, and blah 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 blah.
Right.
So, like, you see the trend here?
Yeah.
All right, so after the first game, We lead into Five Nights at Freddy's 3, which apparently takes a turn from the other game. You are now at Fazbear's Fright. And guess what? You're taking the night shift.
Of course. If I've learned anything from these games is no, don't work for anywhere that has animatronics.
Yeah.
Don't be a security guard at night.
Absolutely.
And so we should not make animatronics.
Right. So the staff at Fazbear Fright have learned how to operate animatronic suits as costumes.
Oh, but God. Later,
cassette tapes discourage employees from using the suits after an unfortunate incident at a sister location. This game makes use of post-death minigames, eventually depicting the group of murdered children seemingly getting revenge on their killer by cornering him and forcing him to hide in an animatronic where he's crushed and killed.
Jesus Christ! What the fuck? Why
there,
is it so dark?
Apparently in FNAF 3, only features one physical animatronic, Springtrap, who is believed to be possessed by the late William Afton, and several other apparitions of previous animatronics that cannot physically harm the player. Now, William is Michael's brother. William is the one who actually built the animatronics. Michael is just the businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So, when everything was going on in the original game, William is actually the one who caught the blame, not Michael, because William is the one who built them.
Right.
So you can imagine that William probably isn't exactly too happy with Michael.
Right.
And I think that is actually a reoccurring thing throughout all of the games, is that William is somehow trying to get back at Michael because of the bite of 83. And mentioned they have earlier, the Purple Man. I believe William is actually the Purple Man.
Him.
Yep.
So after
this, you have two more games. You have the Pizza Simulator, and then you have Security Breach, which is the brand new one. Now, I haven't played Security Breach. I do not know anything about Pizzeria Simulator. But hang on.
I was going to say, because I've watched Morse Critical speedrun Security Breach, and from what this sounds like, because in Security Breach, I know you play as a kid and you can climb into
Gregory. Yeah,
you can climb into Freddy.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a really bad idea.
No, Freddy's actually trying to help you in this game.
Yeah, I know that, but from what it sounds like, it seems very obvious. Do not get into the animatronics.
Well, in Security Breach, it's different. Freddy's actually on your side.
That's true.
But yeah, all in all, this is not a fucking kids game.
Yeah, no, what the fuck? I thought this was
the whole entire story is deep-rooted in nothing but murder and bloodshed. I didn't go too deep on it, but yeah, no. Fuck Michael Afton. He killed a bunch of kids, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
actually
dark.
Killed a bunch of kids. The whole entire game series is about murdering children.
Yeah, don't murder children. That's not good.
This game is wild.
Yeah, what the fuck? Oh man.
Now you can see why I started to play it, because I looked at the lore first.
Okay, yeah.
I looked at the lore first, and I was like, yo, hold on. I was like, excuse me? Hello?
But speaking of murder,
ooh,
great transition.
Right. Great news for egg lovers.
In my D&D game, we played yesterday, and...
Ooh.
Holy
going already.
Holy shit, have we gotten way in over our head, man.
What did you do?
So here's I'll give you a little context. So The story is, we end up in a place called Bloomcrest, and we all kind of meet each other, and we're like, okay. Two of the characters already knew each other, and we all kind of got talking, and then we heard, well, one of the characters was there to stop some people that worked for an evil god named Gondor. So Bloomcrest was like, hey, yeah, go here. So we go there, meet some undead people. They are like, hey, we don't want to be undead anymore. Go.
Hey, we'd like to be living, please.
Well, yeah, they're basically like, hey, like, for either, like, let us, like, finally rest or, like, change something, man, because we don't want to be undead anymore.
We're not with this shit. Yeah. Please help us.
Yeah, literally. And so we're like, okay, all right. And they're like, so go find this fae named Duvne and have her help us. And so we're like, okay, cool. So
okay, all right, we got you.
Yeah, pretty much is what we did. So we were like, all right, well, I guess let's go to the Feywild. So we find this girl's husband, who she's trapped in a tower, and so we need to save her as well. And so he leads us to this place called Alderglen, and in Alderglen it's like very fae touched. And it kind of blurs the line between the Feywild and the Material Plane. And we go there and we tell them, we're like, hey, yo, what's up? We're trying to find this Fey and save this girl so she can get back here and do y'all's little festival and have children, because it's a really weird shit. So they're like, all right, cool.
It's a really weird
It's really weird, but like... This whole town is very obsessed with having fae children, so they send whoever wins the festival to the fae to get pregnant and come back and have a fae child. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so they go sleep with like this arch fae, come back pregnant, have a fae child, and then they're like blessed to have as many kids as they want, and nothing will ever happen to them and stuff.
No.
Yeah, it's weird.
No.
And so...
No. Just no.
So then we're all like, alright, cool. And the mayor's like, we'll do a ritual, send you to the Feywild tomorrow. And we're like, alright, sounds good. So we go to bed.
Does not sound good.
Yeah, no.
You don't say that sounds good.
Yeah, no. So, we go to bed. We go to bed, and... They bust in and they're like, hey, come on, y'all gotta go now. And we're like, okay, all right, sure. So they send us to the Fae, the Fae Wild. We end up in the Fae Dark, fight a bunch of spider women and men.
Spider women?
Yeah, like, they're called dryads.
Okay.
Yeah, so we fight them, kill them all, meet some drow, then end up finding out that they want to kill this other drow. But we need her alive to get to Duvne. So then we have to kill them. And then we finally get to Duvne, and Duvne's like, hey, so in order to save her, you're going to have to go back in time and kill these people to prevent them from becoming undead and kidnapping her. So we're like, all right, well, I guess time travel and murder. And so we go back in time, and that's where we get in over our head. As we walk down this 150-foot cliff, and there were so many of them. I mean, we're outnumbered like 5-1. There's like 50 of them, and there's 6 of us. And we're like, okay, all right, well. So we've been fighting them. We kill pretty much all of them by now. So far we've had most of them dead. However, I go down twice and almost die. So I go down twice, and I'm the cleric. I'm the one keeping us all alive.
Yeah.
And finally come back up. I get myself to 16 HP. And our sorcerer is like, okay, I have a spell, but I don't want to hit you, both of y'all. And we're like, you know what? If it'll help and kill just some of them, just go ahead and do it. And so they're like, okay, I'm going to take your word for it. So they cast Shatter, and we have to make a dexterity save. And it's me and the paladin, because we're right next to each other, kind of working together and trying to stay alive and killing these guys. And I shit you not. He rolls damage. 16 damage. Exactly enough to kill me. So if I fail my saving throw, I'm dead. Yeah. And I shit you not.
My man got hit with the...
No. No, because I roll. Me and the paladin both roll. And we both get natural 20s. And take no damage. No. Dude, it was so fucking hype.
You're lying.
I shit you.
Fat liar.
Dude, I shit you not.
I bet you Peter literally popped the fuck off.
Yeah, we all started screaming because we were like, no fucking way. We were like, it's like, someone did the math and it was like a 1 in 400 chance for both of us to roll a natural 20. And in my opinion, it saved the encounter. We're not done yet. There's still some of them alive. But I go down again and the sorcerer comes in and thundersteps me and the paladin out.
Oh my god.
And so we're not even at, like, we have almost all of them dead just to realize that the motherfucking wizard that's in a bubble, invulnerable, is about to bring all of them back as undead because he's a necromancer. So we just kill all these people and fucking realize, okay, great, we have to kill them all again because they're going to come back as undead.
I'm angry for you.
Yeah, so Peter was like, I may have made this encounter too difficult. And so we were like, he was like, so do y'all want to headcanon and I can make it easier? Or do you guys want to see how it plays out and have backup characters ready? And so we were like, no. We were like, no. We got through. We've done this much. We're like, let's play it out. If we die, we die. And we're all at like next to no HP.
Except, yeah.
And we're like barely hanging on. And he's about to bring back more fucking zombies. And so we all have backup characters. So I have a
yeah.
Like,
as soon as you said that, I was like, my man definitely has already drafted another character.
Yeah, I'm playing my second character is a shadow sorcerer, phantom rogue, who,
that's a mouthful. Excuse me.
Yeah. So this is really cool. He's one of my favorite characters I've made.
Hit me with it.
His name's Lexador. But he goes by Shade because he's a pretty known thief and assassin. And so what he does is he uses the darkness spell, and being a shadow sorcerer, he can use a sorcery point to be able to see through that darkness. So no one else can, because it's magical darkness. And as a phantom rogue, when he kills someone, he can put their soul into a coin. And so when he kills someone, he can grab their soul and put them in a coin and use that coin to give him like proficiency in something else that he's not proficient in. And he can do a lot of cool stuff with it. Like, you can speak with them and get information, or you can, like, what is the other one? I think you can, like, be proficient in a certain skill, like investigation or something, or, like, be proficient in, like, a tool set or something. So, really cool. And
wild.
He got his shadow magic from when he did a heist to get this artifact, and it gave him his shadow magic, and it is now his spell focus as well. So he always has it on him. He's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm like, even if my current character L survives, I was like, when he gets back to Alderglen and sees his family, he's fucking done. He's retired. My man went down twice, sitting there on the brink of death multiple times. He does not want to go adventure anymore. He wants to rest.
So, like, that's fucking wild, bro.
Dude, I wish Like, I wish you had, like, the time to join us for, like, a session, dude, because it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, that shit's deep.
Yeah, no,
My God.
it's crazy right now, man. Like, when we first started, he was like, "Hey, we're gonna like go into the Feywild and stuff. Like, there's gonna be a lot of like mental sanity checks, and you might lose control of your character. Like, are you guys okay with that?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude, that sounds crazy." We met like,
Right.
dude, we met spider people, we met mushroom people. I mean, like, it's crazy.
That's fucking dope, dude. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Like,
How's your D&D game going?
dude, I like okay. We had to put a pause, you know, we had to take a step back because the DM wanted to work on a video game they're creating called Requiem. I believe, or no, not Requiem. Starts with an R.
That's cool. That's cool as fuck.
Yeah, I forgot exactly what it's called, but it starts with an R. We actually just fought our first big bad.
Oh,
Our
yeah.
actual first big bad. And this thing was casually a 20 by 20 trash monster.
What? That sounds dope as fuck.
You heard me. Like
That sounds
20
cool.
foot 20 foot cube. It took up a 20 foot cube. It was that big.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. So we had to go down to the sewers of this town, and it had been clogging up the sewage system. So there's a lot of poisonous water in the town, and the town wanted us to go ahead and take care of that problem. So we went down there, and not entirely aware of what we were fully expecting, but
Not a trash monster.
we knew that it was not going to be an okay thing. We knew that this was not going to be an easy trip because three parties had gone before us and nobody came back.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying. Yeah, three groups of adventurers went down there, but they died, but I'm sure you guys will be fine.
We found all three of them.
Alive? Bones?
No. We found all three groups.
Like alive or like you found their bones
Oh,
or
they were dead as fuck.
shit.
They were dead, have been dead.
Oh God.
Gonzo, finito. One group almost made it all the way down there, but they died, I guess, trying to fight it or whatever, and came back and just laid there and passed away. But there's this little like cult group that one of our party members is like communicating with, and I forget exactly what they're called, but they're all known by like animal names. There's spider, panther, scorpion, that kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes people, you know, some fucking skull and bones type shit, you
Yeah,
know what I mean?
my character L is part of a faction called the Mortal Shadows, and they do a lot of like political manipulation and stuff.
Oh yeah, these guys are definitely all about manipulating the policies and like politics in town.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we had to do a little background on me. I wasn't able to do a very deep, in-depth background on my character. I wanted to do one, but like my imagination was shit at the time. So the DM and I talked about how we needed to go a little deeper on the character that I was playing, and how I casually have a half sister who is Panther in this
Oh.
little skull and bones thing. Yeah, we in one of the earlier sessions, we went into the town and we had to do a tournament where we actually fought Scorpion, but we didn't know he was Scorpion at the time. We don't even know he's Scorpion now, but the DM has basically told us like that's Scorpion.
Right. Like you know out of character.
We know out of character that that is Scorpion. I think someone else in character actually knows for a fact that that's Scorpion. Yeah, so Panther is like number two. Scorpion is like number 10.
Oh shit.
We got wiped by Scorpion. We didn't actually die.
Right.
We got wiped by Scorpion.
Jesus.
And he's number 10.
Fucking Christ, man.
Yeah, my half-sister is number 2.
Oh, God. But,
yeah.
I actually like leaving backstories kind of open-ended, because I feel like when you play, you kind of get a better sense of how you want the character to go. Because, like, L's background was basically he worked for the summer court in the Feywild, has a family that ended, that, like, originally he didn't even have a family, but I was like, you know what, I think he should have a family. He probably does. And, like, that whole thing. He probably does. Yeah, like, I literally, talked to Dovney and she got my family out of the Feywild because they were trapped working underneath an archfey. And with my family, we always had the plan that if any one of us could escape, we go for it, like, don't look back, and find a way to get the rest of them out. And that was the only way. And I had to make bread and beer because she has some weird thing with bread and beer. Or I had to lay with her. And I was like, no. I was like, El will not cheat on his wife. So I managed to squeak by and make good enough bread and beer for her. And she was like, yeah, I'll get your family out of there. They'll find their way. No, I like leaving them kind of open-ended. Like, even with Luxador, his backstory is pretty open-ended, too. Because I think kind of develop the character as you play.
Yeah, I agree.
We can go ahead and wrap.
Wait.
Oh.
If we're on the ending,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to tell everybody one thing before we leave.
Yeah. I was gonna say we do have a few announcements. I'll let you go.
Go ahead. You have an announcement. Go. You start first. Mine is just more of a suggestion, not an announcement.
Okay. All right. So I made a YouTube. I'm planning on making some YouTube videos of me playing games. I'll put the link in the description to the YouTube channel if you guys want to go ahead and subscribe. I don't have any videos yet, but I do plan on making some of me playing some games. Things like Genshin Impact, Elder Scrolls Online, Hades. I might even do some Hades because I really like the game.
Yeah,
I love the game. It's a lot of fun.
Hades is so fucking
it's
sick.
So much fun. So I'll probably do some play some Hades, play some Baldur's Gate 3. I mean, I have a bunch of different games that I'm gonna play and kind of have fun and kind of do it as a nice little hobby. So
I want like 5 videos and then an outtakes video of you goofing around and doing dumb shit.
Dumb shit and Hades.
Anything. Okay, just funny runs.
Yeah, no, I can, because it's Risk of Rain 2. I have a build on one of the characters where literally I just stand there. I don't do anything. I just stand there.
That's beautiful.
And everyone dies, because one of the characters has these turrets and they get all the same items you get, and so you can throw down 2 turrets next to each other. And there's a item that heals you if you stand still for long enough. So you can throw them both down. Their healing will pop. Your healing will pop. Your healing heals them. They heal each other. And they both heal you. And you heal yourself. And so it's like nothing but healing. And you just sit there. And like they kill everything for you.
That's amazing.
It's so fun.
I don't really have an announcement. More so, like I said, it's a suggestion. Recently, I watched a TV show on Netflix called Archive 81.
Super good.
Absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that it was a podcast turned television show.
Me either. I never knew that.
And so I'm going to be trying to find the podcasts soon. So listeners, if you guys have never heard of Archive 81, I would suggest you either go listen to it or go watch it, because the show on Netflix is an 8 episode series. I do not know if there's a part 2, but I do know that it follows the podcast of the same name. So I can say a little bit of background if you've never seen it. I'm not going to spoil anything. But it follows the story of a man named Dan. Dan is a restorer of sorts. He is able to restore film, damaged film, things like cassettes, old VHS tapes,
yeah,
even pictures. And Dan is hired by this man to restore some old tapes. And he starts to find out that the tapes are a little more closer related to his life than he realized. And I do believe the story would follow, the series would fall under the category sci-fi, fiction, found footage, kind of. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you say, Gavin, you watched a couple episodes?
Yeah, that's what I thought in the beginning, too. I know it's fiction, but it has that, like, found footage, like, these are supposed to be real life
footage. Yeah, exactly. It has that, like, found footage feel to it, even though it's somebody watching, not exactly somebody filming it.
Yeah, like, it's like, he basically, like you said, kind of, like, finds these tapes and realizes, hey, I'm a little more connected to this than I thought.
Yeah. So.
Really good. I've only watched, like, two episodes, maybe an episode and a half, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, I highly suggest either going to find to listen to it or definitely watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
I binged watched it and finished all 8 episodes this weekend, and the only thing that I need to say is holy shit.
Yeah, I plan on watching it. Me and Caitlin are gonna try and watch it. We'll probably watch some more this weekend, but we've also been trying to keep up with Demon Slayer, because Demon Slayer's so fucking hype right now. We gotta watch the new episode.
I need to watch that in Attack on Titan.
Yeah. So, but that'll do it for us here, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave us a review. It really helps us out a lot. I'll put all of our socials will all be in the description. I'll make sure my YouTube's there if you guys want to go subscribe to it and stuff. And
well, I'm actually gonna subscribe to it as soon as I can. Don't you worry.
I'll post it in the chat. But all right, guys. But
next week we'll have Caleb back, and that motherfucker talking shit about Smash.
Yeah,
he can beat me.
Yeah, he said he's gonna go pro in Smash now.
He's got another thing coming, you old bitch. I love you. You're beautiful.
I hope he listens to this episode.
Me too.
He's just going to be at a surprise for the end. Anyways, guys, before we ramble on for too long, that's going to do it for here. Do it. I can't even do the outro. That's going to do it for us here at Select Start. Bye, everybody.
See you guys next week. Later.
Bye.